Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a weekly podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves. My name is Darren Fote, and today we are podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore, one of the premier independent bookstores in the nation, with three locations in the Metro Denver area. Tonight's author on tour is Candace Bushnell, who reads from and discusses her new book, One Fifth Avenue, published by Hyperion. In the weeks to come, we have Neal Stephenson and many more. You can visit www.authorsontourlive.com for a complete list of upcoming podcasts. Wait a minute, it's time to begin.
Good evening. Welcome to the Tattered Cover. Thank you for supporting your independent bookstore, and thank you for silencing your cell phones. In Candace's fifth book, we are offered a voyeuristic glimpse into the lives of the rich and privileged who live in the 27-story Art Deco building at 15th Avenue. Socialites and social climbers alike vie for love, success, and for the right address. Please join me in welcoming the author of 15th Avenue, Candace Bushnell.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for coming. I'm just going to jump right in and read a little bit from the beginning of 15th Avenue, and then we'll do questions and answers, and I'm sure you guys have lots of questions about Sex and the City and Lipstick Jungle. I hope some people watched Lipstick Jungle last night. And you can tell me if you liked the scene at the very end when Nico's in the taxi, because we went back and forth on that one. And so now that's going to make everybody else in the audience want to watch the show. Like, what are they talking about? Anyway, this is, for me, one of my favorite books. The female characters range from 22 to 83, and there's a character in her 30s, a character in her 40s, a character who's close to 50, and then a character who's 83, and it was just fun to write about these different female characters at different points in their lives, and they all meet up at 15th Avenue, which is a real building in New York, but I've completely fictionalized it, including the descriptions of the building. I think the building is actually 27 floors, and I think I made it 16, because I thought if I made it 27 floors, I'd have to put in another 10 characters to fill it up, and I just couldn't do that. What else can I say about it? I'm sorry, it's very dry here. I don't know if it's me or... the book is social satire, and it's a very contemporary book in that it touches upon, I think, things that are happening today. You know, besides the clothes and the shoes, the mortgage crisis, the stock market. But I've made it fun, so don't worry. No one's going to have to do any math. You know, as well as the internet. And in this book, the internet works as a sort of Greek chorus. Some of the characters in the book are bloggers, and others are on the internet. And through the internet, they also find out what the other characters in the building are up to. So it's a kind of layered book. I'm going to start at the beginning, which is just very simple. Okay. Shifra Diamond has taken a part in a TV series, Enid Merle said to her nephew, Philip Oakland. She must be desperate, Philip said, half jokingly. Enid and Philip occupied two of the second best apartments in 15th, located on the 13th floor with adjoining terraces, separated by a charming white picket fence. It was across this fence that Enid now spoke to her nephew. It may be a very good part, Enid countered, consulting the piece of paper she held in her hand. She's going to play a mother superior who leaves the church to become the editor-in-chief of a magazine for teenagers. Now there's a believable concept, Philip said, with the sarcasm he reserved for most matters Hollywood. About as believable as a giant reptile that terrorizes New York. I wish you'd quit writing screenplays, Philip, and go back to writing serious novels, Enid said. Can't, Philip said with a smile. I'm desperate. Well, I just talked to Roberto, Enid said, referring to the head doorman. Schiffer Diamond is coming back today. A housekeeper was in her apartment this week, getting it ready. Roberto says she's moving back, maybe permanently. Isn't that exciting? I'm thrilled, Philip said. I wonder how she'll find New York, Enid said, having been away for so long. Exactly the same, Auntie, Philip said. You know New York never changes. The characters are different, but the play remains the same. Later that afternoon, Enid Merle was putting the finishing touches on her daily gossip column when a sudden gust of wind slammed shut the door to her terrace. Crossing the room to open it, Enid caught sight of the sky and stepped outside. A mountain of thunderclouds had built up on the other side of the Hudson River and was rapidly approaching the city. This was unusual, Enid thought, as the early July day hadn't been particularly hot. Gazing upward, Enid spotted her neighbor, Mrs. Louise Houghton, on her own terrace, wearing an old straw hat and holding a pair of gardening shears in her gloved hands. In the last 5 years, Louise Houghton, who was nearing 100, had slowed down a bit, spending most of her time attending to her prize-winning roses. "Hallo!" Enid called loudly to Mrs. Houghton, who was known to be slightly deaf. "Looks like we're in for a big thunderstorm." "Thank you, dear," Mrs. Houghton said graciously, as if she were a queen addressing one of her loyal subjects. Enid would have been annoyed by this, if not for the fact that this was Mrs. Houghton's standard response to just about everyone right now. "You might want to go inside," Enid said. Despite Mrs. Houghton's quaint grandeur, which was off-putting to some, Enid was fond of the old lady, the two having been neighbors for nearly 60 years. "Thank you, dear," Mrs. Houghton said again, and might have gone inside, but for a flock of pigeons that flew abruptly out of Washington Square Park, diverting her attention. In the next second, the sky turned black, and rain the size of pellets began to pummel Fifth Avenue. Enid hurried inside, losing sight of Mrs. Houghton, who was struggling against the rain on her spindly legs. Another strong gust of wind released a lattice screen from its mooring and knocked the elegant old lady to her knees. Lacking the strength to stand, Louise Houghton tipped sideways onto her hip, shattering the fragile bone and preventing further movement. For several minutes, she lay in the rain until one of her four maids, unable to locate Mrs. Houghton in the vast 7,000 square foot apartment, ventured outside and discovered her under the lattice. Meanwhile, on the street below, two town cars were slowly making their way down Fifth Avenue like a small cortege. When they reached 1/5, the drivers got out and hunched against the rain and shouting instructions and oaths began pulling out the luggage. The first piece was an old-fashioned Louis Vuitton steamer trunk that required the efforts of two men to lift. Roberto, the doorman, hurried out, paused under the awning, and called for backup before waving the men inside. A porter came up from the basement pushing a large cart with brass poles. The drivers heaved the trunk onto the cart, and then one after another, each piece of matching luggage was piled on top. Down the street, a strong gust of wind ripped an umbrella out of the hands of a businessman, turning it inside out. It scuttled across the pavement like a witch's broom, coming to rest on the wheel of a shiny black SUV that had just pulled up to the entrance. Spotting the passenger in the back seat, Roberto decided to brave the rain. Picking up a green and white golf umbrella, he brandished it like a sword as he hurried out from under the awning. Reaching the SUV, he angled it expertly against the wind so as to protect the emerging passenger. a blue and green brocade shoe with a kitten heel appeared, followed by the famous long legs clad in narrow white jeans. Then a hand with the slim, elegant fingers of an artist. On the middle finger was a large aquamarine ring. At last, Schiffer Diamond herself got out of the car. She hadn't changed at all, Roberta thought, taking her hand to help her out. "Hello, Roberta," she said, as easily as if she'd been gone for 2 weeks instead of 20 years. "Crap weather, isn't it?" So that's the beginning. And as you can imagine, Mrs. Houghton doesn't make it. So her 7,000 square foot, which probably isn't big out here in Denver, but in New York it's like enormous. She doesn't make it, and her apartment is up for grabs. And so, of course, everybody in the building wants it. They want to break it up. And then it ends up going to a hedge fund manager and his wife, and that kind of changes everything in the building. So the book is about new money versus old money, art versus culture, and how the new replaces the old, and in a sense how the new ends up following the same paths of those who've gone before them. So anyway, I want to thank you all for coming. I'm going to sign some books, and I really encourage you to read One Fifth Avenue. I promise you, it is a great read, and you're really going to have a good time. So thank you very much.
That's all for tonight's Author on Tour. I'm Darren Fote, and we have been podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore in Denver, Colorado. Stay pod-tuned in the coming weeks for Neal Stephenson and many more as we podcast Authors on Tour. This podcast was originally recorded on September 25th, 2008.